Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Alrighty then, here we go. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And just tweaking the headphones a little bit there, a little here, a little bit there. Yeah. And hopefully, as I wander over that way myself, folks are beginning to wander into the chat room. Yes, yes, absolutely. You too can wander into the chat room, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you'll be right there in the midst of Anatole and Jay Cruzen and Labor Man, Little Gray Sentient Being, Trey, and longtime inveterate indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who being a third stage guild navigator has folded space this afternoon to become Man Cave, and a chat room moderator Texas Betsy, who pops by periodically, and therefore I can't add in the long time. Okay, I can do the long time part, but the inveterate and indefatigable, no. But still, we're tickled to have moderator Texas Betsy in the chat room. There, yes. It is at present 78 degrees in the folded space man cave. What is it here in the fabulous Horn studio? 80. Yes. There's southern exposure here with a lot of glass and a lot of computers generating a lot of heat. It is not oppressive or anything. The air conditioner is working nicely. It's just that that's an air conditioner that's working against the full force of the solar furnace that is the sun. Yeah, I know. I'm happy. I'm very, well, yes. I'm as happy as I can be dealing with the kind of issues we have to deal with, you know, in the last couple of days, right? Yeah, exactly. So, that's where we are as we, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. There we are. Yes. So I got that out of the way before anybody could say, who is he? Yeah, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We are a listener-supported radio network, and thanks to our subscribers, and thanks to Paul yesterday and Jay Cruzen today. I'll explain the Jay Cruzen part. But anyway, the upshot of that is that we've only got 265 to raise this evening, because we finished last night in a $195 deep hole. So that's a good thing. If you want to help out, run on over to PayPal. Run on over to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, the contribute page, the PayPal interface, the name, the address, leave off the what you do, where you do it, kind of get to the next screen. Or you can use the United States Postal Service, which, thank you kindly, Lee Potter of Choctaw Wildfire, contained a box today featuring some music from Choctaw Wildfire. and featuring and also included some T-shirts, which were freaking awesome. Yes. Thank you very kindly, Lee Potter. If Choctaw Wildfire is playing anywhere near you, go out and see them. You will not be disappointed. Right. Anyway, the U.S. Postal Service delivers mail to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid, and then let me know that it's on the way, and I'll tell Boss Van Wayne he can leave the spider-proof gloves in the truck and only take his axe handle with him in case he runs into a Klansman. Okay? Okay. So, I said I would mention Jay Cruzen. You know, he put a $200 challenge on the table the other day for $10 per reason within a set of pre-established parameters. $10 per reason for voting for Hillary Clinton. Didn't have a lot of takers. I got a note from Jay Cruzen saying, just so you know, I was listening to the program Friday night. I did hear the pathetic attempt to come up with reasons for me to vote for Hillary Clinton. I could just say epic fail and move on, but let's break things down just a little bit. Your reasons were she bakes cookies. That was not my reason. Texas Betsy says Choctaw Wildfire play just up the road from her quite often. Do yourself a favor, Texas Betsy. Go forth and rock and roll. Which challenge, Jay Cruzen? Which challenge? I didn't say that, but somebody did offer up she bakes cookies. Well, if I'm not working these days, it's safe to say, Jay Cruzen continues, I'm drinking a beer. Beer and cookies? No thanks. Amateur. She'll protect women's rights. Wasn't it you that informed me that she said she would be willing to negotiate away some part of a woman's right to choose? Well, I did, and I was originally apprised of that fact by our dear friend Beth in Dallas, who provided the video evidence thereof. She said she would. Do we take her at her word? She opposes TPP. Really? As Secretary of State, she helped negotiate the fucking thing. And you know what? It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter because TPP will pass and be signed by President Obama before she takes office. Most likely it'll be signed in the lame duck session of Congress in the middle of the night right before Christmas break. They'll pass it and he'll sign it when no one is paying any attention. Don't you know how shit works? Well, that's why you got to keep your eye on the ball. That's what that whole, you know, participatory thing is. Right. Being the first woman president is, of course, disqualified by my follow-up email when I said a vagina was not a reason. She'll veto attempts to repeal Obamacare. Okay, but wouldn't any Democrat? But that's the one where I read it and... I read that and said... I think that's changing the rules in the middle of the game. I don't remember the rest, if there were any, but suffice to say, Jay Cruzen continues, I'm truly not impressed. If all we can come up with are reasons that equate to stopping the Republican agenda, that's only one reason. It also illustrates, shines a big fucking spotlight on the fact that there is no good reason to vote for her specifically. If all the Democratic Party is willing to do is put someone in the way of Republicans taking us backwards, what's the point? Well, that's kind of entirely the point, Jay Cruzen. It's a binary system. I've been waiting years and years and years for I Want a Pony to appear on the ballot. It has never done so. The perfect candidate ain't out there. Bernie wasn't the perfect candidate. It's never there. Hillary Clinton is further from perfect than, say, Pluto, whether it's a planet or not, is from the goddamn sun, but I think you understand my point. I think some of this, and this was not going to be how we started the program, but, you know, At least we're not talking about slaughters yet. The point is always to stop the other side. I mean, do you go to a football game? I mean, let's say I like college ball. Do you go to Alabama versus? Because I'm a Bama fan. Do you go to Alabama versus? I don't know. Donut Hole Polytechnic, and say, well, I mean, I want them to. I'd like for Donut Hole Polytechnic to stop them, but yeah, you know, what I really wish is that I was sitting here watching Alabama versus Auburn. No, you go to the game, and the game is what the game is. I mean, as a West Virginia fan, I have dual fan status. Thank you very much. I sit and watch the majority of the West Virginia University football schedule with my little head and my little hands going, God damn, really? The Big 12? What a boneheaded maneuver that was. Our nearest away game is almost 1,000 miles. Well, yeah, I do say that. And you know what? I say I wish Bernie was the nominee. But wishing is not the same thing as dealing with reality. And the reality in November is you get a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I'll get people pissed off at me for this, but Jill Stein's not a choice. Because Jill Stein does not have a mathematical chance within our system to win the presidency. Deal with that. Oh, she would have enough people voted for her. Enough people aren't going to vote for her. Periodically, I guess I kind of have to explain this again. But we have a constitutional system here in which there are two factions, as James Madison called them, that vie for the control of the government. It's kind of set up that way. Going all the way back to when the Constitution said that the first person who came in first running for president got to be president, and the person who came in second got to be vice president. That was subsequently altered and amended. But the ground level nature of the system did not, was not. And even if, say, 700 years from now, the Greens finally achieve enough political power to contend for the presidency, and like 900 years from now, they win the presidency, guess what happens? They become one of two dominant political parties. American history is rife with this. The absorption of the Whigs into the upstart Republicans. The absorption, the co-option of the socialists by the Democratic Party during the rise to power of FDR. That's how it works. So we're all the Republicans are always voting to stop the Democrats, and the Democrats are always voting to stop the Republicans. It's all there is. I mean, and this isn't even the Orwellian East Asia has always been at war again. It has always been at war against no. It is systemic. It is not. It's not a flaw. It's a feature. It's baked in. It's the little silver coin you break dental work on when you bite into it. So back to what Jay Cruzan said. If all the fuck the Democratic Party is willing to do is put someone in the way of Republicans taking us backwards, what's the point? Well, the point kind of is to keep Republicans from taking us backwards. Why don't we just go back to the Republican convention and get Clint Eastwood's chair, paint it blue and white, write Democrat on it, and elect an empty fucking chair? Well, some would say that that's Hillary Clinton. But then again, the Hilarians, thin-skinned though they are, say that Bernie was an empty suit. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it. It is the contentious nature of the American political process. Jay Cruzan continues, I'm tired of it, Bob. I'm tired of it too, Jay Cruzan. But being tired of it doesn't render it inapplicable. The Democratic Party has gone to shit. And people have been saying the Democratic Party has gone to shit as long as there's been a Democratic Party. The disaffected side of any argument always says that we was robbed, it's rigged, the system's corrupt, while the side that wins, no it ain't. I mean, I watched that last weekend. The country's gone to shit. The whole fucking world is going to shit. Hillary Clinton will not help any of this one fucking bit. If you choose to travel slowly or quickly in a straight line towards a lake of shit, you still end up swimming in shit. Yeah, I get that. Okay. And maybe that's all of life. There's no political road that leads to a world that's fueled on rainbow sparkle unicorn farts. This is the dirty business of being human. Can you imagine what politics must be like on Vulcan? The debates just must be... Well, I don't know. Is it possible that the debate... obligatory Star Trek reference, by the way. Maybe... Wouldn't it be cool if they scheduled the debates on Vulcan during the time of the Kunut Khalifa, that one time a year when Vulcans fly into a homicidal rage, you know, for sex. All this being said, Jay Cruzan continues, I know you're going to vote for her, and I'm not trying to change your mind. I respect your decision. Hell, I even halfway understand your reasons for doing so, especially when it comes to protecting your family. I'm going to protect mine as well, no matter what. But voting for Hillary Clinton is not on my list of ways how I will do so. No matter what bullshit Donald Trump and the rest of the Republican Party throw at us, I'm just not willing to bathe in the river of blood that is support for Hillary Clinton. So you'll bathe in the river of blood that is watching Trump become president. I got that. But it's all one river. You know, Greek philosophers, notwithstanding, said, you know, you stick your hand in the river, pull it out, and a little bit later you put your hand right in the same spot again, you're sticking your hand in a different river. I get that. But when it's all blood, and it's one river, this is the American Empire. We do not change in the United States in great sweeping moment. No. This is an incremental nation, as desperately as many of us despise that. Because we don't need incrementalism. We don't need a little bit at a time-ism. We don't need never-ever-ism. But we are living with a constitutional system that is not at all acclimated or designed to deal with crisis. So, at any rate, as a consolation prize, Jay Cruzan has kicked $100 to us. And I thank you, Jay Cruzan. He says, you know, kind of like the trophy your kid gets for participation in a sports season. Tell the Birdman. Oh, you're talking about, okay, the bird, okay, Punky. Hi, Punky. Yeah, Scott, I've supported the program a lot and will continue to do so. I've just always thought finding creative ways to support the program makes for good conversation. It does. It makes for great conversation. And I think this is a conversation worth having. And I'm not trying to lecture anybody. I just... Texas Betsy just provided me a ballot. Bob's ballot. What would you like? I want a pony, Hillary, Trumpty Dumpty, other. See, we don't even get other. It's brutal. Trumpty Dumpty is, that's funny. Let's see. Sometimes I think I should get Dr. Bill on the line for these conversations. Maybe he could explain it better than I. But third parties are mythological creatures. Now, leave it blank. I've left the governor's race blank. I've left some congressional races blank. I've left Senate races blank. In instances where I knew what the outcome was going to be ahead of time, my vote was meaningless. Maybe that's where I wind up with the presidential election this year. Again. Because I recognize where we are, and where I particularly am, you know, almost level West by Cole, Virginia, stand. My vote is, unless the polls show something radically different moving toward November, my vote here is meaningless. This state enjoys a registration advantage among Democrats of like 2-1. Don't matter. Because, among other things, the coal people still have power and they'll gin up a lot of hate and yada, yada, yada. I don't know. Maybe I'll leave the presidential ballot blank. But even that is a concession to Trump. And I got to tell you, I mean, you can say that I'm simple. You can say that I've been co-opted into the system, goddammit, or anything else. But the idea of conceding anything to that orange bag of pus, that virulent sack of infectious hatred, gags me. And is very difficult to do. And plus, out of nothing but sheer cussedness, like I said, I want to be able to, if it turns out that there's a complete screw-up, and she loses... You know, I kind of wanted to be able to say to him, this is one Bernie supporter. You can't blame it on the you hilarious you. But our five little pissant. I mean, you know, we at the Democratic State Convention, we spent time nominating and electing presidential electors. You know, members of the Electoral College. Had it, I suspect that if we had had, and those would be the people who cast Electoral College ballots when the time comes for the Electoral College to vote in West Virginia, the Democratic electors are never going to cast a ballot this November. Not for president and vice president. Sorry. You know, someday maybe we could have a civics discussion with Dr. Bill and ask him just exactly how would you rebuild a system that would create proportional representation in a presidential race? Wouldn't that be cool? You know, engineering kind of stuff. Jay Cruzan has an offer. All right, Bob, I'll make a deal with you. Let's trade votes. I'll vote for Killary Hill here in Florida if you'll leave yours blank in West Virginia. I planned on leaving mine blank. Well, that might be a deal worth making for me, because my vote for Hillary doesn't matter a damn in West Virginia. Yours might make a difference. Yours might save a life in Florida, because Florida is most definitely in play, especially now that the blood of innocence is puddling in places like Orlando. Because people will be shit hemorrhage terrified. Steve from Georgistan says, double down on that deal with me. I'll take it. In regard to Jay Cruzan's offer. And, you know, this is a legitimate tactic. People who live in states where the outcome matters enter into agreements with people who live in, you know, I mean, and it's a viable thing. If all the Jill Stein voters would say to people to Democrats in Alabama and Mississippi and you know, the Confederacy and Texas and whatnot, listen, y'all vote for her down there, and we'll vote for the Democratic nominee where it matters, like say Ohio, Michigan, California, Washington, Oregon. That's a viable strategy. And there's nothing dirty about it. Because see, in places like West Virginia I'm considering Jay Cruzan's offer because it involves me leaving my presidential ballot blank. I will not vote for a third party candidate because I don't vote for mythological animals. And I just want to be clear about that. But that kind of vote swapping could be very effective, because like I said, in the Confederacy, places like West Virginia, etc., Hillary Clinton, that snowball in hell has greater longevity than Hillary's candidacy does in the Confederacy. The hell California doesn't make a difference, Tim from L.A. The single most electoral college delegate-rich state in the union? By the way, a note coming into Jay Cruzan, courtesy of Scott in San Diego. Please thank Jay Cruzan on my and Punky's behalf for his support of the program. And Jay Cruzan has been a longtime supporter of the program. If Jay Cruzan took offense at my comments last week concerning the method he used to generate conversation contributions, I should reiterate that it was the cheap cold medicine talking. Next time, get the good stuff, Scott. At least 100 proof. By the way, I have it on good authority that the birthday fairy will be laying some spendable goodies on me later this week. So watch your mailbox for a modest contribution. Thank you, Scott. Thank you very kindly. Clarence, with a note, subject line, a hard choice, says, good evening, Bob. Please remind our family members there are some groups, minorities, that would suffer tremendous setbacks if Trump wins. I'm a vet who fought in Kissinger's folly. I despise Hillary, too, but she will get my vote. I mean, as offended as I am by her dear, dear, close, abiding friendship with Henry Kissinger, I think people of the Vietnam era who fought in Kissinger's Folly, as Clarence terms it, have a much more perfected right to be disgusted than I do. So, yeah. Thank you, Clarence. Thank you for that. That's indeed food for thought. Meanwhile, Marty says, on the other side, there are those saying leaving their ballot blank is voting for HRC. Not in a place like West Virginia, it's not. As of now, Drumpf is a bag of ugly broken wind. HRC has ugly actions to match her ugly wind. But she doesn't have those ugly actions as president, Marty. And you know what? History may prove you right. But given the fact that in the last 48 hours, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini has actually said or alleged or alluded that the President of the United States is in league with ISIS in creating terrorist attacks that they really haven't done any of in the United States. And given the fact alongside that the Republican Congress is going, well, yeah, I know, it kind of sucks. But you know, we're not going to disavow him or anything because Hillary tells me a lot. That tells me that Republican Congress would go along in a minute because they're authoritarians. They do what they're damned well told by whomever tells them to do it. And that includes a skin bag full of orange pus, to wit, Donald Trump. Dogman with a note says, yes, Bob, sometimes we have to play defense. Your football analogy was correct. We're up against a fascist, demented weirdo. Some things you cannot gamble on. Thanks, Dogman. Marty notes, short of a constitutional amendment introducing proportional representation, chance of that. But sorry, I cannot vote for HRC in the guise of voting against Trump. None of the above is my choice. And you know, I'm not gonna get in a squabble with anybody who says that. Your vote is your own, as mine is mine. But maybe there's enough. Maybe Tim from LA is right, and California is not in play. You know, Hoghead in the chat room says, you want to start and make a viable third party? You better start now to get them ready for 2020. No, Hoghead. I'm not trying to be an ass here, but if you want a viable third party, start now so that it will be competitive in 2634. Because that, but do we understand what I was saying? If a third party is successful, it will simply become one of two parties. You are not going to create, not because you're not going to work hard enough, and not because it ought not happen, but because of the mechanics of the political universe in which you are trying to create it, you are not going to create a three-party system or a four-party system or a five-party system or a 12-party system unless you go back to the drawing board and rewrite the Constitution. And you're going to do that at a convention, which we are perilously close to having, that's sponsored by the Koch brothers. And your motion to include Anti-citizens language united in your new constitution. Before you get the first half of the sentence out, they will have dragged you from the hall and beaten you to goddamn death back behind the truck that delivered the weenies for the hot dog stand out on the concourse. Because you're dealing with fascists. Sometimes you do play defense. Dogman says, don't be polite, be real. The other people vote more than we do, and we have to play defense. Yes, Hoghead, you do. You have lofty goals. I admire your goals. And Stockton Larry says, Jesus, Bob, how about a two-party system with at least one not capitalist party, huh? You know what? You could make that. You could make that. But there's enough power and money inside the Democratic Party. The only way you're going to make that is becoming an insurgency in it. And they will fight you all the way. Jay Cruzan says, well, goddamn, Bob, the Kochs are going to support Hillary. That doesn't mean that. that's because she's a little. It's because she's not nuts. Okay? The Kochs are billionaires. They worship at the shrine of stability. What was the word that was so in vogue a couple of years? Certainty. They want certainty. The certainty they want is the certainty that they know that they can continue to fuck the living daylights out of working people and otherwise eviscerate any democracy movements. And, you know, Hillary's the perfect opportunist. She'll take any money from anywhere. God damn, she took millions from a guy who was given millions to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time. She don't care where the money comes from, baby. It all spends. Right? that's you know what? That's not even capitalism. That's just avarice. And granted, it's one of the seven deadly sins, but oh well. And thank you, Jay. Thank you very kindly, Jay. Jay, with one foot in Sonora, says, thanks, Bob. Here's another $100 to toss on top of Jay Cruzan's offering. This is in atonement for the few seconds last month that I doubted your commitment. And just now, Jay's coming over to reality is great, too. Thank you, Jay. Thank you again. Jay is another longtime supporter of keeping this little independent broadcast effort alive. Meanwhile, Cindy in the Great Northwest says, write in Bernie. I'll write in Bernie and hope his entire base does the same. Did you notice the absence of crowds come out for Hillary? I'm pretty sure that is indicative of the lack of support she has. Millions came out for Bernie, and if we all write him in, he will win. Cindy, I love you, but no, he won't. No, he will not. And I mean that sincerely. You're another one of the long, long, long suffering supporters and listeners of this program. There is no universe in all the myriad alternate universes out there. Maybe there's one where Bernie wins this November. This is not that one. I mean, we can't chalk everything up to voting irregularities, and voter suppression will be out in wild force in November, and it will be aimed at any Democrat in support of the Republican nominee, even if the Republicans nominated the devil himself, which they pretty much are gonna. See, every state has different rules with regard to write-in, counting write-in votes and how they go about it. And God forbid somebody writes B-E-R-N-Y Sanders. Oh, I'm sorry. In Iowa, we're not going to count that. And in Kansas, they won't count it unless it's Bernard Sanders. It's perilous. Jim says, third party bullshit. Do you want another 2,000? Do you? A response is warranted, please. All money is green. Yeah, it all spends. And in an American political campaign, you will take it anywhere you can get it. As, you know, the Clintons have proven. I'm not sure. I don't know that a 2,000 is a direct analog for this, because 2,000 was outright stolen. There were tens of thousands of registered Democrats who voted for George W. Bush. There were literally thousands of Jewish people who voted for an unreconstructed, unrepentant old Nazi by the name of Pat Buchanan. And those weren't hanging chads. They really voted for him. For motives that are entirely their own. Oh, but wait, that part of it's third party. Nader is third party. But the larger issue is the number of actual Democrats in Florida who voted for, you know, dim leader. Same thing in West Virginia. The National Rifle Association hauled out the barely animated corpse of Charlton Heston, who said, hey, Al Gore, he stood right there in a damn Beckley National Guard armory. Al Gore is going to get your guns, you hillbillies. Hey, get your damn dirty hands off my guns, you damn dirty ape. And all of a sudden, West Virginia voted for a Republican president for the first time since God only knows. So there's, you know, that. And it happened all over the place. Oh, man. Tim is trying to get me off of this topic. And he's working real hard at it. Wait a damn minute. So, Bob Kincaid, bacon-wrapped grilled hot dog dripping in grease with bell pepper on top, and as you bite into the dog, the juice and the grease lines your mouth with fat in your mouth, and Tapatio hot sauce adds the kick you need. Oh, you know how I get right to the heart of the matter, don't you, Tim? Yes, you do. Note, and orange juice, too. One type of blood or another is always puddling somewhere in Florida, especially around election years. I'm thinking the license plates ought to soon be reading the bloody swing state. Pardon the jaundiced humor. Steve, a member of the Trinity of Steves, this being Steve in China. And thanks to another member of the Trinity of Steves, thank you to Steve in Georgia Stan for kicking in. We are slowly but surely taking a bite out of the fundraising hole. We're now at $150 to go for the evening. Thank you very, very much. Now, one last thing before we move back into the blood and the horror. Hey, by the way, did you know that Omar Mateen's daddy is a broadcaster himself? Did you know that he broadcasts some sort of opposition program to in a couple of different languages over into Afghanistan, and he's been doing it for years and years and years and years and years. The dipshit Jirga or something is what he calls it. Yeah, he's not just some humble immigrant. I mean, I hate to get all paranoid, but some of this shit's beginning to get a little bit weird. And it turns out that Mrs. Mateen, the one who didn't leave Omar, knew what he was planning to do, tried to talk him out of it, and never turned him in. Thanks. Oy. Now, I got something else here, and this is also courtesy of Jake Cruzen. And I can't walk away from something like this. This is actually, this isn't something that can't happen or is deeply frustrating. And I don't even think it qualifies as a conversation starter. This is actually an attempt to leverage. This is an attempt to leverage the efforts of the community, and think of it as kind of a scavenger hunt. And people, and we've got people who listen to the program. I can think of a particular Canadian hillbilly, just right off the top of things. Wait a minute. Maybe this is why I'm not getting any messages via Skype. Apparently one of the connections has crashed. Well, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, think of this as a scavenger hunt. Jay Cruzen is an aficionado of good liquor. And like I said, I can think of one other aficionado who might have a fighting chance at this. Jay Cruzen is on a quest. And he says, I will contribute $500 to the program, to the Horn, in honor of anyone, and this is just one, so like if 15 people find this, no, it's whoever comes first past the post, you know, just like the political system. I'll contribute $500 to the program in honor of anyone who can procure me a bottle of, write this down maybe, Pappy Van Winkle's 20 or 23-year-old Family Reserve at retail price. Jay Cruzen adds, I believe retail price is around $220. In addition to the $500 he'll contribute to the program, he says that he will, you know, he'll also pay you for the cost of the said bottle of Pappy Van Winkle at or around $220 a bottle. Now, this ain't easy. Don't everybody just run out to the liquor store going, you got the Pappy Van Winkle 20 or 23-year-old Family Reserve? Because they're going to give you one of those looks. See, you can find Pappy Van Winkle's 20 or 23-year-old Family Reserve for around $3,000 from somebody looking to make a killing, you know, because capitalism, because gouging, because scalping. You know, I've heard of tickets being scalped, but never liquor. However, I wouldn't even trust that, seeing as how empty bottles of Pappy Van Winkle sell for $200 on eBay, and people are refilling them to rip people off. Jay Cruzen notes, you never know, you may have a listener that owns a store that gets it, or knows someone that does, or lives somewhere that there's a reputable source. Now, here's the fun part. You can tell that Jay Cruzen is deadly in earnest about this. Why? Because he says, the offer stands until filled or I die, whichever comes first. Jay Cruzen wants a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle 20 or 23-year-old Family Reserve real damn bad. And, you know, we try to be more than just a radio network. We're a community of friends, and we try to help each other. So if you know someone who can meet all those criteria, I mean, it's got to be sealed. The seal's got to be good. The tax stamp's got to be good if there's a tax stamp. And if you have any questions, shoot me an email, and I'll let you know. I'll let you know how it goes. And hey, good news! Thank you to Home Dirts in North Carolina, and thank you to Cindy in the Great Northwest. We got $100 to go for fundraising this evening. Hallelujah! Thank you. Because those echo-inducing holes are kind of awful. Okay, so so I just got a message through from Sparky, so I know that Skype is working. Yeah, see, there it is. Sparky just showed it to me. Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve 23-year-old bourbon whiskey, 750 milliliters, at Liquorama, selling for the low, low Kmart price of $2,999. So you get the idea. It may be impossible, but that's why, you know, that's why Jay Cruzan's making the offer, because if it did work out, he'd still be saving money. Big time. And, Little Gray pointing out in the chat room, that Pappy Van Winkle shit is 95.6% proof. So, yeah. 95.6 proof. I don't think it's 95.6%. Because that would make it 191.2 proof, and I don't think it's that. You'd have to sell that as rocket fuel. Okay, so all of this, conversation being what it is. Oh, thank you. We're now below the $100 mark. Thank you very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont, who pointed out, I should note, and one hopes this is true, that Walmart has said that it will no longer sell. How about that? Walmart even has standards. I wonder if it had anything to do with this. There was an active shooter situation in a Walmart in Amarillo, Texas today. At the Walmart on I-27 and Georgia Street, Georgia Avenue, Georgia Boulevard, Georgia Place, Georgia Trace, Georgia Trail. Anyway, Amarillo, Texas. The Randall County Sheriff's Office issued a breaking news, armed subject, please share. Officers from RCSO and several other law enforcement agencies are currently on scene with an armed subject at the Walmart and at the Walmart on Georgia and I-27. Apparently in Amarillo, streets don't have street at the end of it. It's just Georgia. Witnesses reported gunshots earlier today. SWAT officers descended upon the Wally World and blew away the shooter, who was said to be a Somali immigrant and either a current or former employee who had taken a hostage. The standoff ended just a little before 1 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Walmart shoppers were evacuated from the store. Roads near the store were all shut down by police. It is being described not as terrorism, but of course, to a certain segment of the American population, it is, because everything is, if it involves anybody with skin darker than a brown paper bag. But if it's a white guy, nah, just disgruntled guy. It must be a Texas thing. Texas Betsy tells me Austin streets are also generally known by their name and not designation. Like Congress. Right? Yeah. But lo and behold, Walmart, Jeremy tells me, And no, the announcement came early this morning before the incident in Amarillo, so there's no connection. But Walmart has announced that they will no longer sell AR-15s, and they will now face the wrath of the National Republican Rifle Association, the largest, most well-funded terrorist organization on Earth. Yeah. Note coming from Clarence. Subject line, hijacking power. Bob, you're right about the duopoly that exists. Progressives have to hijack the Democratic Party the same way the Tea Party hijacked the GOP. Amen. We have to get control of local, county, and state political positions. Once that's done, we get to change the rules that run the party and the nation. Bernie's ideas are what we need, but we need control to move forward. Precisely. There's only one... And not to be the wet blanket that I am apparently working out to be for the bulk of this evening, but the Tea Party, the Tea Baggers, the drop-dead, dirt, ignorant, repackaged, repurposed John Birchers and Klansmen that and great-grandchildren and grandchildren and children of same who took over the Republican Party did so with a great deal of money from the Koch brothers. And George Soros, who is, of course, the boogeyman for anyone who who votes Republican. Goddamn George Soros! He's not doing the same thing. At least not as far as I can tell. But the upshot of what Clarence suggests is true. It's a lot easier to change an existing party than to build a third one. And, you know, that's the kind of thing you get after, you know, kind of quick-like. So the Jeremy tells me the posting about Walmart not selling AR-15s anymore came from NBC News, so it's probably true. And that's a step in the right direction. But what we need is for none of those sorts of rifles, AR-15s, AK-47s, you know, anything that will fire 40 to 50 rounds per minute. You know, just as long as you can squeeze the trigger and there's still a round in the chamber, that shit's got to go. God almighty, there are Glocks that'll hold 19 rounds. And, you know, dude had one of those, too. It does not solve the problem, but it is apparent, let's at least make the killers... go to a little trouble. Let's be a problem to them for a change. Get rid of the high-capacity magazines. Get rid of, you know, of those weapons. Institute a buyback. This is still a capitalist country, isn't it? I mean, these are weapons of war. They can be modified to full automatic, by the way. It is illegal to do so, except for extremely narrow circumstances and licensing requirements. Barkway in the chat room says, great, now there will be a stampede of the two Walmarts in my area to get them guns while they still can before the date they quit selling them. One would hope that the thing would have taken effect immediately. note coming from Rico. Hope you're well and doing a great show, which, as usual, I can't listen to live. Anyhow, I was just wondering where the podcast of your Malloy fill-in thing, which I'm sure was spectacular, might be found. Not Malloy's feet or yours. Help! Well, that should have gone up, or should be going up. I sent that off to the guy who does Malloy's podcasts immediately after the program. And then, in perfect timing, especially for somebody who's not listening live, and in fact is a podcast listener, Rico says, whatever you think of Hillary, and I have a pretty good idea what it is, and I don't disagree much, you have to admit that compared to Herr Drumpf regarding this latest horror, Hills looks like Mary Mother of God. I won't go quite that far, but I get your point, Rico. I don't have any illusions about what the ignorami in this country will do, but I just don't see how she can lose to El Fascista. Hey, but I've been wrong before. Thoughts and prayers and peace, for real. Rico in Pittsburgh. Yeah, If you sort of buy into the whole notion that that we are watching a piece of staged theater, then this is that part where Trump really, you know, the phone goes, Don, I know you didn't mean for people to take you seriously, but they are. There's a lot of hateful, mean, dirty-ass, stupid people out there in America. So you're going to have to get real ugly about this. You can't win, Don. And I know, that's paranoid as hell, but... All right, then. Somehow or another, we got through an hour of the program. And if you would like to participate in same, you are welcome to do so. I'm going to... Wait, it's Tuesday. Yeah, that's right, it's Tuesday. So that means there is a Green News report coming. And it means that... Well, it means the lines are open now. The stress line is working nicely. 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. The other line, of course, 304-574-8178. And you can jump in there if you wish. And from anywhere on planet Earth, Skype to Skype. You can... reach me at Bob Kincaid Horn. Bob Kincaid Horn. And you'll be part of the you'll be part of the conversation radio phenomenon. Shall we? Do let's. All right. Little tunage. Then the Green News Report. Then conversation, because we got a lot of it to get a lot of stuff to deal with. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let a memory talk to me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. I you're all I got to take care of me. Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let a memory talk to me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. Whiskey River, bathing my memory, mind the wetness of its soul. Feeling the amber current flowing from my mind.
It's Tuesday, June 14th.
And warm and empty heart you left.
will scare ever take my mind. Don't let memory torture me. Will scare ever don't run dry. You're all I got. Take care of me. From my mind, and warm and empty heart you left so cold. Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let me torture you. Whiskey River, don't run dry. You're all I got. Take care of me. River, don't run dry. You're all I got. Take care of me.
It's Tuesday, June 14, 2016.
To live in harmony with Mother Earth is a part of our ancient belief.
India's Prime Minister praises environmental responsibility to congressional Republicans. Bankrupt Peabody Coal secretly funded dozens of climate change denier groups. Coal use plunges to new lows in the U.S. More oil companies abandon the Arctic. Plus, Norway becomes the first nation to ban deforestation.
All of those firsts and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We have an incompetent administration, and if I'm elected president, that will not change, I will tell you. That will not change over the next 4 years.
Yeah, that's what he said. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, one piece of business before we begin. I want to welcome our newest Green News affiliate, the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, yay!
Delighted to have them on board, and my thanks, of course, to our friends over there, Shano and Danielle, as well.
Welcome aboard!
Indeed. Now, the other point, before we get to your news, I noticed that the Solar Impulse, the 100% solar airplane that's working its way around the world, has now made its way to New York City. And I know you're covering this closely. You love the solar plane. So I thought I'd point that out.
Well, thanks so much. Yes, they landed safely in New York and will soon be starting on the very dangerous Atlantic Ocean crossing soon.
We wish them our best. What else do you have for us today?
Not a climate change denier. India's conservative Prime Minister Narendra Modi, in an address to a joint session of Congress last week, praised U.S. leadership in brokering last year's historic U.N. Paris climate agreement, which congressional Republicans have vowed to kill. Modi said it is working toward a better future for all.
We are working together not just for better future for ourselves, but for the whole world.
That's the fakest accent I've ever heard.
Well, Obama and Modi announced a $1 billion partnership to advance renewable energy financing for off-grid electricity projects in rural areas in India. Modi pledged that India will ratify the Paris Agreement as early as possible and will work to phase down production of hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs. Those are used in air conditioning and refrigeration and are extremely potent greenhouse gases. Experts say it was critical to get this commitment on HFCs from India before it established industries that rely on them.
Impossible. Republicans told me for years that neither China nor India would take any action on climate change.
Yep. Coal mining in the United States has plunged to its lowest levels in 35 years, according to new data from the Department of Energy. In 2007, coal was the nation's primary source of electricity, but thanks to cheaper natural gas and renewables, coal's share has declined by a third in less than 10 years. And that coal crash has led to bankruptcies of major coal companies. The Guardian reports that bankruptcy court filings by Peabody Coal reveal that the coal giant secretly funded climate science denial groups. Groups, at least two dozen of them, devoted to opposing environmental regulations and casting doubt on man-made climate change. Think tanks, contrarian scientists, trade groups, industry front groups, and the Koch brothers group, Americans for Prosperity, all were paid secretly by Peabody to deny climate science. Meanwhile, in the Arctic, on the heels of U.S. oil companies like Shell canceling plans to drill for fossil fuels in the rapidly melting North Pole, now a Spanish oil company, Repsol, has become the latest to abandon its drilling leases in the Chukchi Sea. Russia's state-owned natural gas company, Gazprom, is also pulling out of the Barents Sea in the Arctic, admitting the effort is, quote, not only practically impossible, but also pointless. The popular weed killer atrazine poses a potentially serious ongoing risk to birds, mammals, fish, frogs, and many plants that it is not designed to kill. That's the conclusion of a comprehensive new study by the Environmental Protection Agency, which found that atrazine, which is primarily sprayed on farm crops, doesn't actually stay there. It washes out into surface and groundwater supplies and is now widespread throughout our environment. Banned in Europe, environmental and public health groups are calling for the EPA to launch a total ban on atrazine in the United States. Finally, Norway has become the world's first country to ban deforestation. The Norwegian parliament has voted to require that all government purchases must not be from companies that can be linked to destruction of the rainforest. That includes products like palm oil and wood products from Central and South America and Indonesia. Norway's legislature also committed $250 million to help the nation of Guyana protect its forest.
Nice to see nations taking action around the world. Would be even nicer if we saw our nation taking the action that it should, at least in the U.S. Congress. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
13 past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, the 14th day of June 2016. And let's see, quick note coming in. First of all, thank you. Thank you very kindly to Clarence for taking us down only $75 to go in fundraising for this evening. Thank you very kindly, Clarence, in Philly. A note coming from James in Idaho, Stan. Hey, Bob, I'm a huge fan of yours. Well, shucks, thank you. And I enjoy your show just about every day. Have you seen the documentary known as Cowspiracy? It proposes that the single largest contributor of greenhouse gases is the agribusiness, in particular the cattle industry. The documentary said that agribusiness, in particular the cattle industry, produces substantially more greenhouse gases than all of the world's coal burning and automobile emissions and others combined. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this matter. Thank you, Bob, for everything you do. I'm familiar with the claim. I'm not familiar with the documentary. I'm suspicious of it, and yet I also give a certain amount of credence to it because, you know, what comes out of a cow's butt is methane, and methane is a far more potent greenhouse gas than even CO2. nonetheless, I don't think. Now maybe if you tack in all of the greenhouse gases that are attendant upon the cattle farming industry, maybe. But even then, I don't see it. That seems like a way to evade the problems, the manifest problems that are made by burning things like coal and gas and oil. And I don't know, man. It's probably impossible to find, but I'll bet you if you were somehow able to wave a magic wand and find out where the money came from the film, would you be surprised if some of it came from the American Petroleum Institute? Because I wouldn't. I'm merely speculating. I'm just speculating. But, you know, billions of people driving automobiles, exhaust gases, and God knows the billions upon tens of billions of tons of coal that are burned, even though they say, oh, well, we're down to 1981 levels. That's because there's a blip on the market. But let me just respond real quick to something that was in the Green News report there. You know, I always learn something from Brad and Desi. I need to talk to them about this coal bankruptcy business, too, by the way. Somebody remind me. So did I hear that right? President Obama signed a deal with Prime Minister Modi of India to help finance off-the-grid solar projects in India? Well, I mean, great. Wouldn't it be cool if we got really, really hardcore about doing that here? And yes, I'll say it again. One of these days, I hope that we will take this program off the grid. But that's a coordinated effort that we're simply not prepared to engage in at this time. Let's see here. Okay, that's set up. All right, let's run over to line one, which is not the stress line, and check in with Jim. What's happening, Jim?
Good evening. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Well, happy Flag Day.
And to you the same. Speaking of flags, did you Haley in Arkansas pointed out, and I don't know how many other states have done the same. The no half mast for Orlando.
You're kidding.
No, Haley posted a picture of as of like late Sunday night, or maybe into maybe it was Monday. All of the flags flying in front of the Arkansas State Capitol in Little Rock. Sorry, no half mast.
I thought when the president decreed or when the president lowered the flag at half mast on the White House, everybody had to do it.
One would think, but then again, wrong president, right?
I guess so. That's just ridiculous. Going back to the election coming up, and God knows I probably may not be there to see it, but that's another point. And I'm not looking for sympathy. But I can tell you this. Donald Trump is the most dangerous man I have ever encountered. He is, to me, what the Queen of England was to Hitler during World War II, who labeled her as the most dangerous woman in Europe.
You're old enough to remember Barry Goldwater, so...
Oh, yeah. In your heart, you know he's right. Boom, boom, boom.
And in your guts, you know he's nuts.
That's it. As a matter of fact, I'm recording all the way with the LBJ, and I see what that man went through and what he tried to do. And I hate the fact that he was sidetracked by that dust-up, that horrible thing in Southeast Asia. I mean, you know, that was...
Well,
it
sullied his legacy. There was,
it did. It killed him.
You know what he look what it did to us in 1968 because he chose not to run. One of the things that I always come back to, Jim, is to recall what the original thinking was about Medicare. You know, we'll start with it being something you get at 65.
All right.
A couple of years later, the Congress will say, hey, you know what? Let's bump that down to 60. And that probably by the end of the 1970s, it would have been universal single-payer health care. But because of Vietnam, no.
Well, you know, this is the value of incrementalism. You can't have what you want all at once. Incrementalism is not a bad thing. If you can't get what you want now, you have to go for something that will give you a hands up or a step up to something that's better.
The idea that half a loaf is better than starving to death.
Exactly. Exactly.
And there are cases where that is true. You know, he could not have gotten a universal single payer health plan through. Neither, by the way, did Harry Truman, who also wanted the very same thing.
Exactly.
The other side of that coin is that declaring never ever on something is equally unhelpful, shall we say.
Well, you've got a lot of people who've declared that too, and they're in power right now. Or they hope they're going to ascend into, well, hell, they are effectively in power. And, you know, it's just this. I mean, Jill Stein and these past people like Ralph Nader. And Ralph Nader used to wear combat boots with his suit, which I've always thought was kind of stupid. This is just an aside here. Hell, I wore them too, but I sure as hell didn't like to wear them, and I sure as hell didn't wear them when I put on my civvies, okay?
Yeah, it's not like you wore them because you wanted to or because
exactly.
It was a fashion statement.
Hell no. But the thing about it is, I mean, Hillary ain't perfect. As I said, you know, in my email that you surfaced earlier, all money screams. That's just the way politics is, or are. And when you get Trump in there, if that son of a bitch gets in there, and that's exactly what he is, God only knows what he would do.
Well, I don't want him, and my whole thesis has been that I'm scared to death that she is an awful enough candidate and an awful enough campaigner to be the only person that could make it happen.
You know, I think, and I'm going to have to disagree with you respectfully, I think her latest speeches, and I think some of the stuff she said, I think she's certainly improving as she proceeds along the campaign trail.
Well, if she is, she needs to send a box of chocolates to Bernie because he made her.
Well, that's politics, too.
He compelled her to be better than she is, or was.
Well, that was a godsend. And, you know, it takes a man like Bernie to maybe get her attention and put her in a position where she has to be more realistic and sensitive to the people who are not happy with the way this country is going. And that is, you know, an accolade for him. And I voted for Bernie during the primary here. But, you know, if I should make it to the November election, I will vote for Secretary Clinton. And sure, I'm not going to leave a ballot blank, and I'm not going to vote for a third-party candidate that's got no plans of winning or chance of winning, excuse me. I'm just going to have to vote for whomever I think is going to do the best for the country. And that's the way our system is. A third party, when?
Well, like I said, it's a mythological creature. It can't happen. Successful third parties just become the second party.
Exactly. And if you want to wait around for that, I hope you have a tremendous amount of longevity, because I don't think 100 years from now.
But I mean, Jim, you do realize the truth of what I say about voting for Hillary in West Virginia, right?
You mean as far as it being, you know,
it's gonna be a sewage tsunami of Trump votes in this state. You know that.
I know that, but at least I will have, at least on my conscience, the fact that I, number one, left my ballot blank, and I effectively did not vote by doing so for Donald Trump.
Okay, well, let's follow this. Let's follow this little thought experiment. If you could guarantee that a Jill Stein voter in a state that matters, say Ohio, would vote for Hillary, would you do a bargain that way?
Bob, no fact begins with if, and she ain't there in Ohio. I'm afraid not.
What do you mean?
She's just not going to be any type of effective candidate in Ohio.
No, no, no. You're missing the point, Jim. This has been an effective strategy. Where there are people who live in states that are in play that matter.
Oh yeah,
and they say and somebody says, listen, I was going to vote for Jill Stein, but you know, Jim's going to vote for Jill Stein in West Virginia, and I'm going to swap with Jim, and I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton in Ohio. Would you do that? I mean, that's the deal. That's the deal that Jay Cruzan presented me with a little bit ago.
I don't think so.
And he's voting in Florida, and Florida matters. Ohio matters. West Virginia does not matter.
No.
So you can take an irrelevant candidate and vote for her till the cows come home in an irrelevant state. And the third party, I want a pony. I want a pony. Folks are happy, and maybe that way, we keep third party voting from handing us Trump in states that are in play.
Well, to tell you the truth, Bob, I haven't thought about it that way, but maybe you're right. I don't know. I don't know. But I know that Donald Trump is. Absolutely. He has come to the forefront the way he has by virtue of bluster and bulldogging his way with the help of the for-profit media. They've given that son of a bitch so much free airtime because he says all this outrageous stuff that people think they want to hear, and he doesn't mean anything by it.
Well, I think there's a verb tense problem there, Jim. It's not that they have given, it is they continue to give. I mean, Joe Scarborough delivered, I saw a clip earlier, Joe Scarborough delivered another one of his Jeremy ads about media outlets giving Donald free time when all you had to do was tune in to Morning Joe. And, month after month after month, there was free airtime for Donald. And they even got caught plotting to throw him softball questions.
I've heard that too, and this idiot on MSNBC is not one of my favorite people. And how his co-host can put up with him, because I can look into her eyes and the expressions on her face when he's been getting off on some of his rants. Like, what the fuck are you saying?
Well, and so now he's all about, oh, we've got a crisis in the Republican Party. There's a crisis in my Republican Party, my fellow Republicans. When are you going to disavow him?
Well, that's just bullshit.
No, that's just wrestling.
Well, he speaks antonymically. Anything that man says, basically, always interpret as being the exact opposite or being said for, a reverse reason. That's all there is to it with him. I mean, he's some redneck from the West Coast Riviera.
Otherwise known as Lower Alabama, yes.
Well, I didn't want to say that, but that's exactly what it is. And that's just the way he is. And why they have his sorry ass on MSNBC, I don't know. I wish they'd get rid of his ass.
Well, they are apparently well financed to keep him there.
I wonder by whom.
Well, just watch the ads any given morning, and you'll have your answer.
Well, I know that's true, too. But it's the only, you know, major channel that I can get any sense out of. And at least when Mika speaks a lot of things that she says, there's a modicum of truth to it. And, of course, he just gets all red in the face, as red as that sweater he had on this morning, and just goes absolutely ballistic. I just don't see how those two can work together, to be honest with you.
Oh, I think they have a blast. They know what they're doing.
Well, it's media. It's publicity.
It's wrestling.
And it's wrestling, yes, as you said, exactly. And it does attract the viewership, and they are, in fact, you know, earning their paychecks one way or the other. But at least she said things. She says a lot of things that make a lot of sense. And I saw him a couple of days ago, and he went into this, like, 10-minute rant. I mean, nobody could even interrupt him, who was seated around that conference table. And when somebody did try to, he gave them a look that would have turned them into stone, you know, if his hair had been snakes. I mean, he can really be a son of a bitch. He really can. I have no love for this man whatsoever. But, you know, when you go back to, like, Donald Trump, and just give me a minute here.
Sure.
I mean, Donald Trump, I will build a wall. I will build a wall. I will build a wall. Does that fool have any realization that if he builds a wall, who's it going to stop from coming over? I mean, you know, he wants to put fixed fortifications around the lower.
Oh, I understand. I understand. But you're asking him to have a degree of introspection or analytical skill.
He doesn't have none.
That is simply past him. The guys, God knows how many times the man's been to France, but I'll guarantee you, no matter how many times he's been there, he's never seen the Maginot Line.
But I hear he wants to build a wall around his golf course in Scotland because he's afraid that the rising water caused by climate change is going to overflow it. You heard that one?
Yeah. And salt water on greens is not good.
It don't good. It's just like that gardener in Chinatown saying, no good for grass. But I mean, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I build a wall. I mean, fix fortifications. Didn't he ever learn anything from General Patton about fixed fortifications and how anything that's built like that doesn't work?
You just used learn and Donald Trump in the same sentence, Jim.
God damn. I mean, the Great Wall of China was wonderful. Killed a lot of people.
Well, I mean, you know he's bound to have been to Normandy. Look at, you know, those fixed pillboxes are still staring out to sea.
Yeah, lovely Art Deco architecture, but nonetheless, I mean, the Great Wall of China was wonderful because somebody left the gate open and the Mongols came in.
I mean, there's something I would love to see if I could ever travel there. The trench works, the German trench works in the Ardennes are magnificent, magnificent pieces of engineering.
Right.
And they're still there.
They're still there. It's a monument to man's stupidity. That, you know, if people can fly and go by sea, anything built on land is not going to work. And that's just.
But let me point out one thing, and this is somewhat ancillary to what we're talking about. Things like the Orlando attack are perfect for the people who want to keep the American populace in a state of perpetual terror. Because it's not an army lined up in a field.
No, it's not.
It's random acts of terror. But there is a hole, and it's become a gaping hole in their operating philosophy, and that is the fact that If you're going to make these things available to everybody, if you're going to make these things available so people can protect their homes so they won't have to sit and watch their wife get all raped or and their children, yada, yada. I mean, I saw that printed. I'm going to have me one of them rifles because I'm going, you know, if I got one of them and somebody's trying to rape and murder my children and my wife, I'm going to go down a shooting.
Listen, Bob, the only person who needs that type of weapon is a man in uniform who has been trained how to use it and who has to use it because he has to. And that man who has to use it, I can guarantee you, ain't there because he really would like to be there.
No, but what I'm getting at, Jim, is the stupidity of even saying that in regard to a home defense situation.
Well, that's absolutely absurd.
How much resistance does a 3/4-inch piece of gypsum board, or two of them with maybe a 2x4 frame gap in between, how much resistance do two pieces of 3/4-inch gypsum board provide to a .223 caliber round moving at 3,000 feet per second?
None.
So,
because that round is going to do after it penetrates your gypsum board or whatever you have your house constructed of is going to wind up in you if you're unlucky enough to be in the target path.
Yeah, on the other side of the wall. You know, maybe one of your kids is still asleep in bed.
Yeah,
but you heard a prowler, and so you got your AR-15 because the NRA told you that's the ultimate home defense. You know, lying sacks of shit.
Yeah, they are.
They're not, and the larger point here, Jim, is they're not even honest about the goddamn guns that they are advocating for.
No, they're not, because half the people who buy these things, unless they're properly trained in their use and their effect, don't know exactly what they can do. They just say, well, this thing looks nice, and I've got a little money, I'm going to buy it, and I can buy it without a license, and I can buy it if I'm, psychologically deranged, according to a psychiatrist, if they've seen one. They can get one, or they can get one anywhere, and to them, they just think it looks so pretty. It just looks so lovely.
Well,
it's
I saw a meme on Facebook the other day of a young woman looking down the front of a young man's pants, and I don't mean like a kid. I mean like 20 somethings. Good looking young woman looking down the pants of a good looking young man, and the meme says, "Well, that explains the assault rifles."
Oh well.
They are. I mean, Samantha Bee last night on her program you referred to them as something that we've been calling them for ages here on this program. You know, they're penis extenders.
Well, thank God I never had that problem. All I can say is this. These things, I don't know how they can be stopped. I mean, you said that Walmart has stopped selling them.
Yeah, actually, Walmart made that announcement. It turns out Jeremy followed up. That was back. Remember when the journalists were killed in Virginia?
Yeah.
Yeah, that story came out when that happened.
I mean, you do not need to have the civilian population or the police, for that matter, unless they are especially trained as a SWAT team to combat somebody who has one, who's using it like this guy did in Orlando. They don't need to be in the general possession of the American population. They just don't need to be. They're a military weapon. They're designed to kill. The round that they expend is designed not only to penetrate your flesh, but also to wrap around anything in the body and literally tear your torso apart.
Yes. Anything that's entering at 3,000 feet per second gelatinizes the immediate area of the impact.
Yeah, the forerunner of this thing, this is back in the 60s, and I had a rifle, a Winchester Model 70, that shot these type of rounds that were designed to do that type of thing. And instead of just penetrating something cleanly, it was designed literally to explode, to blow it up. And to, as far as the entry wound, well, it might look neat as a pin. As far as the exit wound and the damage between X and Y, it's just horrific. And, you know, that's what we've got here. And, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm going to quote you. I think on one of the programs you made the statement that it's not if, but when do we have another Orlando?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, he said Trump took credit. Trump took credit. I told you this would happen. Well, hell, anybody can tell you it'll happen. It's guaranteed. But you know, there. I mean, there. The baby steps. What you were saying about incrementalism, and if there's an NRA, you know, if I'm being monitored by the NRA, well, first of all, piss up a rope. But second of all, you know, I'll say that to a certain extent, their fears are justified. I want to ban these goddamn weapons of war, okay? I do. There's no excuse for anybody in this country to have them. And if you say that you have it because you're a hunter, you're a terrible damn hunter and a liar into the bargain.
Agree.
Because I know hunters, and nobody goes in the woods with those things.
If you're a soldier under proper training and this, that, and the other, and as I said before, nobody respects war and the horrors of it more than a man in uniform, because he has to get in there and fight it and be exposed.
Well,
to
you've seen the pictures of the guys who go on their open carry strolls in Texas, haven't you?
No, Bob. Tell you the truth, I haven't.
Well, we're talking about guys who, if they were cut in half, still couldn't pass the height and weight requirements for any of the armed services of the United States. Okay. These are the in other circum. You know, there are people who engage in like little get-togethers where they dress up. You know, oh, I'm going to be a pirate, and it's called cosplay. Okay, costume play. Yeah. Well, these are cosplayers with deadly weapons. That's all they are. But in order to facilitate their cosplay fetish, the rest of us have to daily put our lives on the line. No matter where we go and no matter what we do. But just to finish out what I was going to say, you know, what I was talking to, on the Malloy program last night, what I was talking to Bill Bulrick about, the thing that went down in Southern California, in Santa Monica, the other day. The guy they found with a car full of guns and a car full of ammo and a bucket of Tannerite, all right? Now that stuff can, you know, it can only be detonated by something striking it at high velocity, like a bullet.
Exactly.
Now you can go. I imagine you can go to the. I have no doubt you can buy it in West Virginia. We know you can buy it in Talibandiana. I know it can be bought in Alabama and Georgia.
And how do they explain its purpose?
Well, because it's fun.
But, I mean, really, how do they explain the use of a compound like that?
I'm not kidding you, Jim, because it's fun. What you do is you're supposed to make targets out of it, and then you go out to the gun range, and you shoot the targets, and they go boom,
up.
And, you know, dude gets a stiffy.
God almighty. They've never seen what this shit can really do in real time when your life is dependent on the guy next to you, have they?
No, but they have damn sure seen what stuff like this can do. I mean, are we so nationally sunken in our own ADHD that we can't remember what the Murrah Building looked like?
No, I guess not.
And that was a truck full of ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, okay?
Right.
Now, but guess what we did after that? We made it impossible at federal buildings to get trucks close enough to blow up the building. You can't do that now. We took steps to prevent that from happening.
And they've removed those steps?
No, they haven't. The point is, we took steps to keep, you know, truck bombs from happening.
You mean bollards, these big things.
Among other things, and, you know, the big armored steel plates that pop up out of the middle of the street. I've seen them in action.
Right.
But when it comes to something like the AR-15 and other, you know, other variations of the military assault rifle family, we say, well, you know, we can't stop all crimes, so we ain't going to try to stop no crimes. I mean, I've had a belly full of interchanges with libertarians and little anarchists and people like that over the last couple of days. Well, I mean, the problem is bad people, not the weapons they use. Bullshit. Nah, when they can fire 50 rounds a minute, the problem is the weapon. Because you can't hit 50 people a minute with a baseball bat.
The problem is with the people to whom these things become available.
Well, look, it has received precious little airplay, but in Paris, actually a suburb of Paris to the west, a disaffected Muslim person, a man, took a knife and killed two police officers. It was terrorism. I mean, he was operating based upon an espoused philosophy, yada, yada, yada. Okay? I mean, there's no doubt.
Right.
He had a knife and he killed two people. Give that man a semi-automatic assault weapon. What's the number?
Oh, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100.
And this is not to say that doing that with a knife is an acceptable outcome.
No,
but it is a damn sight different than having 50 people shot up in a nightclub.
Yeah, you know, I watched MSNBC today, and I saw the names of those people who died, all 49 of them. On the crawler beneath the screen.
And there are more than, I think there are
how
at least five who are in grave
35?
Condition. Huh? None, what? The oldest one was 40.
Most of them were like between 21 and 25.
Yeah.
And all these people that had done was to go and dance, have a few drinks.
And be gay.
Socialize. And just not necessarily be gay, but just be able to relax from the tensions of the world in which they live, and just
I mean, it is abundantly, but it's abundantly clear, Jim, that that nightclub was targeted and was cased because
gay
people went there.
Yeah, I mean, now they got this thing about his wife when his wife took him by there, and he had been a frequent, he had been at least there for 12 times, casing the joint.
He was it wasn't just that. He was on Grindr and jacked, okay?
I don't understand what
these
that
are
means.
These are apps that are hookup apps for gay guys.
I'm sorry. Since my Saddler days, Bob, I'm afraid that my gay life has not entered the modern age.
Well, I understand, and you know, I'm not pitching for you to go out and buy a smartphone or anything, Jim. But this homicidal.
I've never had to meet people like that. Okay, yeah. I mean, it's just something new to me.
You had. Oh no! You are not gonna go all. We had faces. No, we're not going Sunset Boulevard, Jim.
Well,
we didn't need apps back then. We had faces.
I've just ascended down the steps of the palace, and I'm ready for Erich von Stroheim to roll the camera. I mean, you know,
but the larger point is, you know, in the modern world, we don't meet people face to face anymore. We hook up on apps, I guess. And this guy had. Well, I mean, you know. Okay, so maybe you're not that. You know what cruising is? Well,
oh, I sure do.
Well, he was cruising via the internet for some love that dare not speak its name. Except
well,
we live in a culture where it can speak its name now.
Well, my friend, in my day, and I know that sounds horrible to a lot of people who are a lot younger than I, you know, when I went cruising, I knew what I was looking for, and I knew when I'd found it, and I didn't have to use a virtual image to do it, or some type of person who would put his posting on the internet, probably would be a real picture of it anyway. And, you know, you've seen what's happened to a lot of people who got hooked up like that.
Sure, sure.
It hadn't been good.
But the larger point is, this guy, from all appearances, was gay.
Apparently, a closet case.
And the gay community is kind of looking up and going, hey, we've been trying to tell you, the closet is a dangerous, damnable, and deadly place.
Yes, it sure is. And it can hurt.
I mean, wouldn't it have been far better if he could have just gone out and gone dancing and maybe had a date or two with a guy he found cute?
Yeah, it would. I think he told one of his fellow workers, if I were gay, you'd be the man I'd like. That's what I heard today.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff all over the place now about him. But a significant part of this country, Jim, will evade and avoid confronting any of that because it takes away from their specialness, okay? If this is an attack by a closeted gay man on the gay community because of the self-loathing and self-hatred that infused his very being, that was all tied up with his fundamentalist religious upbringing, and you don't have to say Muslim and you don't have to say Christian. The fundamentalist part is the important word.
Agree.
And saying that he pledged allegiance to ISIS in the last 15 minutes of his life.
And then ISIS was exactly something against what he was from Hezbollah, and those two are killing each other over there. I mean, you know.
He was,
what a last hurrah.
Well, no, what pathetic lengths this individual went to stay in the closet. Because he had to know that, I mean. One of the people who knew him best was one of the performing drag queens there.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Okay? He had to know that people were going, we know about him. So at the end, no, this isn't because I'm gay. It's because I'm an ISIS Hezbollah martyr.
And I'm writing a paper about gay stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to meet people like that, too, in gay bars.
Yeah. No, really? The I'm writing a paper crowd?
Yeah, sure did. Oh, yeah. Met a couple like that. You know, I say, good luck, honey. You can use me as a footnote. Give them a name. Yeah. I used to encounter people like that who were too scared because they wanted to get in that red door or whatever it was. And that red door was not Elizabeth Arden. And they wanted to go in there and see what was going on and try to, I guess, self-actualize in some way and overcome their own fear of being discovered, being labeled a faggot, and then, of course, you know, having to finally come out of the closet, you know? I don't know, Bob, I'll tell you. I got over that so many years ago. I did. I mean, it wasn't easy in many respects, but in some ways, when that door opened, it was like something the Incredible Hulk had hit.
Well, I can imagine.
And I didn't have any problem with it. And you and I have talked about this stuff before in many years past. How many years have we been talking about this kind of stuff?
Well, how many years? How many years has this been a problem, Jim?
For a lot of people, a long time. A long time, and I'm just so sorry that this man could have not exited the closet, in a more peaceful, humane way, and admitted to himself what he really was, and as you said, had a date and had a good toss of the hay, and somebody just banged the hell out of him, because that's probably what he was looking for. Now, I'm not trying to be vulgar here, but I'm just trying to be explicit and just express the only thing I can do with the faculties that I have. I'm afraid I'm not as articulate as I used to be.
Well, the saddest part of it all, as we noted, is that, you know, this is going to happen again.
You got it. And I put on my Facebook today about the AR-15 and this, that, and the other, its purpose, and what was going to happen. And at the end of my Facebook posting, I put tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Oh, and by the way, what I told you a little bit ago about the State House in Arkansas not lowering the flags.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, the same situation obtained at the State House in Jefferson City, Missouri.
Well, good for them. I mean, you know, if they're trying to make some type of declaration or expression of contempt because the president ordered the flag to be at half mast, then honestly and truly, somebody should have gone down there and ripped that flag down at half mast, period. Because, I mean, you know, I thought, and I've always believed, I mean, hell, all my life's been associated with the federal government, one way or the other. When somebody tells me, as a commander-in-chief, to do something, I fucking do it. Whether I want to or not, whether I agree with it or not, you know?
You don't get, yep, not your call.
It's not my call. It's above my pay grade. And, you know, these people... I don't know what, I just don't know, but I'll tell you,
Jim, and, you know, this is your chance to speak for everybody, okay, because you probably will be. What are you going to feel the next time? And what are you going to feel the time after that? And the time after that, Jim?
Gradually, people will become inured to it and just say, oh, well.
And it becomes normal.
Exactly. It becomes, well, you know.
And you know why it becomes, and you know why it becomes normal?
I'm glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, there, but for the grace of God goes John Smith, sure. But you know why it becomes normal, Jim? Because we continue to refuse to place the responsibility where it appropriately lies.
Well, that's true too.
The for-profit media will have its mediagasm, and you know, we've participated in it here, deconstructing the minutia of the killer's existence and his motivations.
Exactly. Sales, it's, you know.
But Jim, the responsibility. Yes, he pulled the trigger, but somebody put the gun into his hands, and mm-hmm. that gun that was put into his hands was a legal firearm, legally manufactured and legally purchased. Who made it possible for that firearm to be legally manufactured and legally purchased? It wasn't the President of the United States.
No.
It was the Congress of the United States.
Yes.
And it was the people who voted in the majority in the Heller decision. Members of the Supreme Court of the United States. And by extension, those people did what they did because they are the bought goddamn creatures of the National Rifle Association, and I will not back down from my statement that they are the most well-funded, powerful terrorist organization on Earth.
Oh, hell, I've seen the building. I know what they are. I've dealt with those people. I know.
Want to bet you got to go through a metal detector to walk in the door there?
No.
They have their damn conventions and their gun-free zones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because Wayne LaPierre and Ted Nugent and Crisp and Cox don't want to be blown away by one of their own freedom-loving members. And they know who their membership are.
Well, excuse me, I didn't realize the interior. I've seen the NRA from the outside. I've never been in the building. I don't know what kind of detectors they have.
I'll bet you got to go through. I don't know either. But I do know for a damn fact that when they have their annual convention, whether it be in Denver or Louisville or wherever, every one of their general sessions is a gun-free zone, and that convention is a gun-free convention.
Probably is, because you can imagine what kind of shooting irons they'd have inside there.
This goddamn miserable, no good teabagger legislature that we have here in West Virginia passed a bill to make sure that anybody over 21 with the purchase money could buy a gun and carry it concealed anywhere in the state, practically, except the state house where those self-same teabaggers work. There, by God, you can't bring a gun.
Well, that's a pity. Maybe they should have a circular firing squad in there for some of those assholes. And I shouldn't say that on the air, but, you know, it's just really gets to the point where you don't know what else to say. You really don't.
I would not shed one damn tear if some karma came rolling down real fast on any one of the people who have facilitated the agony and the misery of this country.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. You know, you were talking about Trump's plane the other night. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, of course, I've seen a documentary about his airplane and how meticulous he keeps it and how well guarded it is. I mean, for example, in one situation when it was being refurbished, they had gotten the wrong cowling for the jet engine. It didn't have the same serial number. Well, they had to go back to the people who were doing it, and it took them a 2 weeks delay to get the correct cowling with the original aircraft. I mean, that's how secret and how safe his plane is. But, you know, if I were to hear that that plane had crashed, I wouldn't shed a tear.
Well, maybe for the people who operated it or served aboard it. But not
maybe.
for its damned owner, no.
Exactly. I mean, you know, but there ain't no way you can have it like that. If a plane like that goes down, well, afraid, you know, hello, goodbye. There it is. There you have it. But, you know, going back to what I originally said about him, that man is so dangerous. And when I think about him being in charge of the National Command Authority, having access to our nuclear codes and things of that nature, and how he has pissed off the rest of the world, and how he has encouraged the proliferation of nuclear weapons in places that don't need to have these things, and how, well, they can defend themselves, as if a nuclear war, should it break out, would not be like a room filled with ping pong balls on mousetraps. Because once it starts, guess what? You've got the day after. And that movie, absolutely, I'm sure you've seen it, didn't even really depict what one would be like. And you've got somebody like him giving orders that are going to missile boats, things of that nature. I mean, we've got one missile boat, for example, Ohio class. They can destroy the fucking world. Effectively. And to have him in charge of that? And the way that man's gotten into a position
it's a reasonable assumption, Jim, that one thing that would attend this would be a constitutional crisis. What happens when he says, well, so-and-so needs nuking?
Well, I'm afraid what would happen is, if he said it, and if the orders were authenticated by the recipient, well, they're trained to do one thing and one thing only. That's the thing. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to get Gene Hackman here and that, what was that movie he did about that sub with Denzel Washington? But that's the truth. I mean, once they get a message like that from the NCA, then they are trained to go ahead and fire up those missiles and send them to where they're supposed to go. And one missile has 10 warheads. I mean, you've got one
right.
Ohio.
So what does the admiral do? What does the general do?
He follows orders.
So you don't think that some sort of 7 days in May kind of thing could maybe prevent that?
I would hope so, but I don't think it would, Bob, because we've become so electronically engaged and everything is basically so sterile that, you know, you've taken people out of the loop, and once that message comes down, that emergency action message, and that's what it is, once that thing is validated by two people, and that's the way it works, two people.
And they've each got a key.
Yep. And whether it's in a silo or whether they're under the seat or whatever, they're going to go to 150, they're going to open those ports, and they're going to let them go. And we got a person who is now...
All on the word of an orange-haired, proto-fascist, megalomaniac,
psychopath. Yep, you're correct. And you've got no arguments for me about anything we said tonight. Well, you don't. Not at all.
All right, Jim. Well, you have yourself a good evening. I'm going to try to take a few more calls. You've certainly brought a lot to the table.
Well, I don't know how much I brought to the table. It's not pleasant for dinner, but nonetheless, that's just my experience, and that's how I feel.
Indeed. Take care, Jim. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
And without wasting any time, let's run over and talk to Jim 2 in Louisiana Stan. Hey, Jim. Oh, Jim. Just a minute. What? Yeah, I got the right thing. Hold on. Damn it. Well, hold on. Okay, there we are. There you are, Jim.
Hello?
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, well, I didn't even know the phone was still on. Yeah, let me turn on the radio. Yeah, that was interesting talk with Jim 1.
Well, not a lot of disagreement there, I don't think.
The only kind of disagreement, as you pointed out earlier, I'm going with the Green Party because I'm in Louisiana, Stan, and you know Hillary's going to win. But I don't really see that much difference between Hillary and Trump. I guess.
Oh, I'd say at least 75 IQ points. I'll give her that at least.
Okay, that much. But she just says,
he's
an
he's Dim Leader 2.0.
Yeah, but
I mean, don't say never say never, Jim, because the goddess of irony will put a whoopee cushion right under your ass. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump will make George W. Bush look like a goddamn statesman.
Well, I saw that piece the other day. What was it, yesterday, where he kind of like totally went off script or whatever, where he kind of prizes himself for not having a script, but he completely, and if you speak enough in front of people, you're going to make mistakes like that. But it was just so glaring, the mistake he made, what was it, yesterday, the day before. But... I'm in Louisiana, Stan, so I'm just going to go ahead and go with the Green Party. And I kind of tend to agree with you. It's sad, but true. I mean, it's like if the Green Party would at least try to start after last election, start trying to develop, but it seems like they don't really get started.
All they do is run vanity candidates.
Yeah.
You know what? The Green Party doesn't need a president. The Green Party needs city council members. The Green Party needs county commissioners.
No, I mean, you said that. You're not the only person that said that. What's his name? Hartman said that. And it did, like you pointed out, the Democrats really get, and I think Bernie started that pathway about, because I have seen on the Twitter that a lot of, there are people who are backed by Bernie, you know, that, not that, you know, it didn't seem like nearly enough, but it's a start. I mean, it's just, you think Hillary's out of the woods yet with all her political possible entanglements?
Are you talking about the email business?
Yeah.
I don't think she's in any woods. I think zombie JFK will rise up from underneath the eternal flame before she's indicted.
I was just thinking there's so much animosity and
yeah, you know what? If there was a Republican running the running the country, and a Republican attorney general, she'd probably have been indicted on a 197-count indictment by now. And she would probably take them to trial and win on 196, at least.
So
you know, think back to what Daryl Issa said. The only reason we're doing this email business is to try to keep her from becoming president. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a little Hillary fanboy. But when the other side admits what they're doing, I take them at their word. The whole Benghazi affair has been nothing counter programming to her political campaign, because everybody's known since 2008 she was going to run again in 2016. I mean, there's certainly plenty of stuff for them to talk about, and they will talk about it all the way to November. And I think she has terrible judgment. Whoever told her it was a good idea to have a server in a bathroom in Denver or wherever the hell it was, or Jersey, or it should be taken out and you know, kicked up one side of the street and back down the other. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. The Laureate University business with Bill Clinton. You know, there's a bright line to be drawn between that and Trump University. There's no doubt that the Clintons, who neither of whom came from much in the way of money, are gonna goddamn get theirs.
Yeah.
Okay. They may have been born poor, but they're gonna die rich. And I will not argue that with anybody. Because hey,
no, no.
Because hey, Merca, capitalism, okay?
Yeah.
They'll get theirs however they can get it, by hook or by crook. And it's ugly, and it's unpleasant, and it's any number of other things. But until a jury, tried and true, says that it was a violation of the law, it's legal.
Well, not only that, I mean, that's a jury of 12, because I know some juries are 6 or 9, but 12. And there's always, you can always.
Well, I'm talking about the feds. I don't know if they're 6 or 12. I don't know, but you know, nobody's gonna. It's not something that's gonna be sued over. It's gonna be something that she has to be indicted by a grand jury over.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing about that is, you'll be able to get. Odds are, the law's gonna be so kind of complicated and convoluted that odds are more. You'll be able to get one or two people to go the other way, which means
sure.
Not guilty.
Right. And you know, please. I mean, this is stuff out of... I mean, the reason Caesar had to cross the Rubicon and march on Rome is because if he had just walked a private citizen back into Rome, they were prepared. They were prepared to prosecute him and exile him and deny him water and fire within a thousand miles or 900 miles of Rome. Okay.
Right.
And he had not just spent 5 years laying his life on the line in Gaul, committing a genocide.
Yeah, you always have that lawyer slash historical perspective. Was this for your major?
No. No, it's just my passion. I can't say it any plainer, Jim. There is not going to be an indictment of Hillary Clinton. Now, they might get around to indicting some underlings, and the Clintons will be happy to kick them under the bus. And as long as they keep their mouth shut and obey the rules of Omerta, they know that once they're done, that life under the bus won't be so bad for them. But she is not going to be indicted.
Okay, no. I was just going by what I saw on, and I know it's pretty bad sources. What about those 17 prosecutors?
I mean, there's not been a grand jury impaneled.
Yeah. And it seems like would they wait to do it right before the election? I don't think so. I think they'd go out of their way to avoid that.
Well, if it was a Republican president, yeah, the indictment would drop about October. But Barack Obama, who I suspect is no big fan of Hillary's, okay? I don't think they like each other. But he's not going to punk her that hard. He's tweaked her a couple of times this campaign season, but he's not going to punk her like that. If the grand jury was impaneled tomorrow, there wouldn't be an indictment until January. And you know what? If they indict her in January, all criminal charges go in abeyance until she's done being president.
Oh, really? Because she's president, it wouldn't count? Because she's the president, right?
I mean, you can't try her. The only thing you can do to a president is impeach him or her. And of course, the House would immediately move to impeach.
And it has to be for crimes in the House while she's in office.
No, just high crimes and misdemeanors.
In office, I mean. If you
no, just high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, remember, the Whitewater investigation did not begin with an allegation of a consensual act of oral sex. It began over a failed land deal years before. So, you're kind of breaking up there, but no, even absent an indictment, I stand by what I said. I expect the House of Representatives, if it remains a Republican majority institution, which there is almost zero chance of it not being, I expect them to impeach her. And they'll impeach her for anything. They'll impeach her for bad taste in clothing. They'll impeach her for getting a facelift and not telling the world. Or dyeing her hair.
Right.
Because that's who they are.
Right.
And by the way, they would have started looking for a reason to impeach Bernie Sanders, too.
I have no doubt. I mean, unless he would get a majority, which, I don't know what's wrong with American people voting all these right-wing people when the economy seems to keep going, getting worse and worse, and Republicans seem to be a lot worse or worse than the Democrats, and the Democrats aren't that much better, but
for those people who are just absolutely subsumed in their hatred of Hillary Clinton, you want to make her really miserable? And I don't mean you specifically, Jim. You want to make her really miserable? You want to make her every waking moment a living hell?
Let her be president.
If she's elected president, once she becomes president, bust your little asses to turn not just the House of Representatives back to Democrats, but to progressive Democrats. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a progressive Democratic House in January of 2019? The first thing they do is pass never, ever universal single-payer health care?
Yeah.
Can you imagine a real progressive Democratic House that would refuse to go along with her and threaten impeachment if she went and started and started getting her Kissinger war on?
Yeah.
She would hate that more than dealing with the Republicans.
Okay. I'm still not giving up on a burn. Oh, you don't think anything's going to happen with California then, right?
No. 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 Absolutely not.
I mean, because there's a whole... I mean, I've just been reading...
I'll get hate mail for this and lose listeners. It's over.
Well, I can understand, because one thing I like about talking to you, you know, there's a lot of things. But, I mean, because... All right, I'm aware when I listen, when I look at Twitter, when I go on Twitter, I program to a great extent what ends up coming my way. I mean, I pick different things I don't necessarily agree with, but for the most stuff, it's kind of sites I agree with, you know? I don't.
Yeah, confirmation. It's like, yeah, it's called confirmation bias.
Well, it's not. It's just like. I don't have,
and I do it too. It's not like I. It's not like I subscribe to the town hall or red state Twitter feed. I'm not interested in anything they have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Fox News in there just to go by to see them once in a while. It'll pop up once in a while, but if I turn on the TV, that's all I get is right wing stuff, except for the so called MSNBC or MSNBC, which is just decorated right wing, as far as I'm concerned. But so it goes my way. It's just like I'm not gonna go on an NRA site, you know, because I have no.
Oh, no, I mean I'll go to a right wing site if there's something that I'm looking for. But I mean, look. I'm not backing off from what I think about Bernie's candidacy. I think it was the last best hope we had.
Right.
But I'm not saying anything inconsistent with what I have said all along. We are electing the administrator of an empire. We are not electing the president of a republic. And we are by no means democratic. Democracy is aspirational and not operational here. And Hillary Clinton, for what it is, Hillary Clinton will be a capable imperial administrator. She won't be an enlightened philosopher like Marcus Aurelius, and nor will she be a Caesar Augustus. She'll be Diocletian, maybe, or you know, one of those emperors whose name you can't remember, but shit didn't fall completely apart on his watch. That's what she'll be.
Right. Whatever I talk.
She will be remembered as the first woman president, not a great president.
Right.
Okay.
When I talk to you sometimes in this realm, I feel like I'm channeling Gorby Doll. Will you give me? Not the way I want history. Not the way I want history to be. I mean this as a compliment. The way it really was, you know. I mean, unfortunately, I think you're probably right. Because I mean, it was a you know. And I'm still not giving up. But
and so you know what I still want Bernie. No matter how nasty the thin-skinned Hilarians are, I still want Bernie to go to the convention. And I want Bernie to give voice to the issues that people stood behind him for.
Do you think I should go to Philadelphia and hang out at the convention?
I wouldn't get within I'm too close to Philadelphia right now. They're gonna build a wall. Well, I mean, I think they're building a wall in Cleveland. I don't know. They're gonna build a wall in Philadelphia. Did I read that the other day? It is going to be a lockdown fascist goddamn nightmare.
Yeah. You don't think my presence would be like an enlightening effect on the whole thing?
You know, I mean, you could go there and you could sit in the lotus position and chant for a little bit, but I don't think you'd be able to levitate the building.
Yeah. Maybe I could contact me and Abby Hoffman.
Yeah.
We could levitate the Pentagon from a couple of hundred miles away.
I mean,
right.
You know, and I've almost given up on making the Supreme Court argument because so many people who are, screw that. But yeah, it's a reality. What kind of Supreme Court justice do you want? Do you want a Supreme Court justice who's going to support the business community and the hardcore right wing of this country? Or do you want a Supreme Court justice who's just going to support the business community and maybe occasionally tell the right-wing religion industry and the freaks and the people who blow up, who shoot up dance clubs to fuck off?
Yeah. To get my head out of the clouds, okay.
I mean, no, I'm not telling you to get your head out of the clouds, Jim. I'm just telling you to recognize where you are.
No, I know.
This
I know,
ain't
know.
Kansas, what? And it ain't Oz either. This is empire, and empires behave in a certain predictable fashion. Empires, God Almighty. Okay, here's some more ancient history. At the Siege of Masada, the Jewish zealot rebels managed to kill a few Romans. So you know what the Romans did? They killed 40 Jews for every dead Roman or something like that. Empire can always up the ante on horror.
Right.
Trump wants to exact retribution on ISIS for what happened at the dance bar. I mean, so how are we going to find a gay bar in, you know, Syria or Iraq to bomb? I mean, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. This guy's a fucking caveman. Sorry.
No. That's sometimes a dose of reality helps. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go and let somebody else get through. I'm still holding up for Bernie, and it's not Bernie going green and give, yeah.
Well, you know, if a movement gets going, Jim, to do some vote swapping, you know, at least make your Jill Stein vote count for something. Say to somebody in Ohio or Pennsylvania, okay, cool, I'll vote for Jill Stein. You help make sure Trump doesn't become president.
So wait, you're saying that stuff I was reading about a lot of stuff being stirred up about some voter fraud in California, that's going to totally amount to nothing. And I mean, they were talking about like a million.
I mean, let's assume your wildest dreams come true. What happens? We're gonna make it a 50-50 split between Hillary and Bernie in California.
God damn it, Bob, you and those facts.
I mean, we have to live in reality sooner or later, even if we don't like it. And if we don't like it, that's what the weed and the liquor is for.
Yeah, well, no, I read where Bernie actually got about 60%, some percent of California, but the votes were so, it was like 61-39, but the votes were so, the fraud was so pervasive that, but I mean, how are you going to prove that? Yeah, I guess. All right. Well, I'm just putting it out there. It's out there on the internet. Somebody else wants it.
Sure.
Bob.
Well, and I hope you understand. I'm not trying to be an ass or anything.
No, you're not, dude. That's why I like, I'd rather, you know, give me some truth, you know, John Weather. refrain goes. I'd rather hear the truth than, you know, dragonfly.
No, I've been at this for 12 plus years, and I'm not going to blow smoke up anybody's ass. I don't have time for it, and neither do you.
Yeah. All right, well, let me let somebody else get through.
All right, I appreciate
talking
it.
Talking with you, man.
We'll see you, Jim. Take care. Hey, before you go, hang on. I am proud to announce that thanks to your father and a copy of JFK the movie, my youngest is no longer and thanks to Bill Hicks too, by the way. My youngest no longer has any has any regard for the single bullet theory.
That makes me feel real good. I'm tell her thanks.
And I admit side. Bill Hicks did put her over the top. Yeah, there were.
He did.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
I'll have to catch that tonight. I'll look that up on the internet
hang on just a minute. Let me see.
I got Bill Hicks on there.
Well, I've got it right here. I was going to share it anyway.
Okay.
Because my favorite line in there is, groups of pro-Castro pigeons had been seen in bars saying coup, coup. Yeah, maybe that's it. Let's see here.
I love talking about Kennedy. I was just down in Dallas, Texas. You know, you can go down there and to Dealey Plaza where Kennedy was assassinated. And you can actually go to the sixth floor of the School Book Depository. It's a museum called the Assassination Museum. I think named that after the assassination. I can't be too sure of the chronology here, but anyway, they have the window set up to look exactly like it did on that day. And it's really accurate, you know, because Oswald's not in it. Yeah, so.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah.
Painstaking accuracy, you know. It's true. It's called a sniper's nest. It's glassed in. It's got the boxes sitting there. You can't actually get to the window itself. And the reason they did that, of course, they didn't want thousands of American tourists getting there each year going, no fucking way! I can't even see the road! Shit, they're lying to us! Fuck! Where are they? There's no fucking way! Not unless Oswald was hanging by his toes, upside down from the ledge. Either that or some pigeons grabbed onto him, flew him over the motorcade. Surely someone would have seen that. You know, there was rumors of anti-Castro pigeons seen drinking in bars. Someone overheard them saying, coup, coup.
Yeah, that one. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, have yourself a good night, and I thought that would provide you a little bit of a giggle.
All right. I always love some Bill Hicks, man. Thank you later.
All right. See you. Go have a cold one for me. Our buddy Jim calling from Louisiana, Stan.
Coo, coo.
There's the word I was looking for, courtesy of Brother Usher Steve in New York, Procurator Clinton. Proconsul. No, consul. Because you can't be a proconsul until you've already been a consul. Right. Oh, by the way, a little note going to, just out there. Apparently the horn feed to FYI Nation has gone dark. Thank you very kindly, Barkway, for letting me know that. And by the way, one final remark on, I guess, on semi-automatic weapons of war. Because, you know, the NRA people don't like assault rifle as a term. They'll tell you this. It's just like, what's his name, that who's that jerk that said there's no such thing as a Palestinian? Well, the NRA will tell you there's no such thing as an assault rifle. There's just rifles and pistols. See? Yes. Well, Jay Cruzen says, anything short of making possession of assault rifles a felony is a useless measure. No rifle that can be equipped with more than 6-round clip belongs in civilian life. Or, you know, a 6-round a 6-round cylinder. Sure. No argument from me there. Let's see. Then, courtesy of our buddy Thomas, smoke up the ass. While that could be someone's kink, I really appreciate you speaking the truth. I love that you have the authority of 12 years while you do it as well. Thank you so much. And, oh, fuck the single bullet. Single magic bullet. Then, courtesy of Scott in San Diego, if Hillary Clinton's legal fate is dependent on the actions of a grand jury, a lot will hinge on whether it's a federal grand jury or not and in what locality it's impaneled. Well, that's about the only, that's it. It's a federal grand jury or no grand jury. Okay, because nobody, no county prosecutor has jurisdiction over her emails. Or Benghazi! Thinking back to the Watergate era, Scott says, Nixon was part of the D.C. grand jury's actions as an unindicted co-conspirator. Later, the Senate Watergate Committee and the House Judiciary Committee got in on the act, and when Nixon finally saw the handwriting on the proverbial wall, he bailed. Well, yeah, because a Republican had to go and explain to him, you gotta leave. We are going to impeach you, the Senate is going to try you, and you will be impeached, and you will be the first president ever to be removed from office. You may either stand upon the order of your going, or you may go at once, and I suggest go at once. So, yeah, that. Let's see. A couple of little roundup items. I mentioned the murders in Paris. That happened on Monday. Bless their hearts, the French had decided to light up the Eiffel Tower in rainbow colors in solidarity with the victims in Orlando. But they hadn't even turned the lights on before La Rossi Abala had murdered a couple of police officers in Magnanville, a residential suburb 32 miles west of Paris. He stabbed a police officer to death before he took his partner hostage, along with their three-year-old son. He slit his hostage's throat. Yeah. But back here at home, hey, you want to know what happens when right-wingers run out and say, oh, no, this didn't have nothing to kill with killing no homosexuals. This was an attack of ISIS upon our freedom here in America. The greatest country in the history of the world, in the universe, today, forever. Amen. Under God. Wolverines. Yeah. When you go out and you gin up, the gunned up assholes, you get this. Dateline Rayford, North Carolina. By the way, I got a note from our buddy Ron in Raleigh, who said we may not be hearing from him for a while because he's been moved to second shift. So don't think Ron and Raleigh just disappeared on us. He just can't listen live. Rayford, North Carolina, a decorated Army Reserve officer. Some of this shit's just hard to get through. A decorated Army Reserve officer, left bacon at a mosque and brandished a handgun while threatening to kill Muslims and bury them there, North Carolina officials said Friday. This happened before Orlando. Russell Thomas Langford made death threats, age 36, made death threats against members of the mosque about 20 miles southwest of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Captain John Kivett of the sheriff's office said he told people at the mosque that he would kill them and bury them behind the mosque. He brandished a weapon while he was on the property. What did I tell you? Down here we call it brandishing. He was charged with ethnic intimidation. I'll be damned, North Carolina has one of those statutes. I guess Pat McCrory and his pet Art Pope's pet legislature haven't managed to repeal that yet. He was charged with ethnic intimidation, assault with a deadly weapon, going armed to the terror of the public. Isn't that anybody who carries a goddamn gun in public? Isn't that? Yes, that's terrifying. Communicating threats, stalking, and disorderly conduct. It began Thursday afternoon this past when the man insulted a mosque member doing construction work nearby and then left the packages of bacon at the mosque entrance. Witnesses say the suspect left and returned to the Masjid al-Madina Mosque several times in his Chevrolet Tahoe. That's just color. That's just detail. It's not the Tahoe's fault. Tahoe's just a tool like a gun. Prompting tense moments inside while children sheltered in the back of the building. Well, they'll get to remember that for the rest of their lives. That'll be imprinted on their brains the day that the American soldier, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, amosexual man threatened to kill them for, you know, being people. At one point, the suspect followed one member home. By the way, this guy wasn't just some grunt, apparently. It's my understanding he was a major, a commissioned officer in the Army Reserve. At one point, the suspect followed one member home, resulting in the stalking charge, according to Hope County Sheriff's Office. A mugshot of Langford, and I'm looking at it here, shows him with close-cropped hair, a tattoo resembling the U.S. flag on his right forearm, and a green shirt emblazoned with a military-style rifle. It's an AR-15, okay? Seen any wolves? Is what it says, but it's vertically with the barrel of the AR-15 pointing down toward what is probably his tiny, tiny, tiny microscopic penis. Authorities found several handguns and other weapons, plus about 500 rounds of ammunition, in Langford's vehicle. He said Langford didn't make specific threats about a mass shooting other than to say he wanted to kill mosque members. I think that's enough specificity for me. How about you? Wow. Before, as Marco Rubio noted, it was Orlando's turn. It was almost Rayford, North Carolina's. Oh, the roulette wheel just spun one click past you, Rayford. Here's the part where you get to do some screaming. Langford made his initial court appearance Friday, posted a $60,000 secured bond, and was released. Because, hey, we wouldn't want to impose an unduly, unduly punitive bond on a guy who all he wanted to do was commit a mass murder of people for their religious choice. I mean, $60,000 should be plenty. And hey, if he goes and murders a bunch of Muslims, let's say he murders 60 Muslims, each one of them can have $1,000. Actually, no, they wouldn't, because those $60,000 would be forfeited to the county and the, you know, state. Sorry, Muslims. Well, at least the military tried to intervene here. Since he did post bond, Major Langford was placed under the control of his commander on base at Fort Bragg. Army Reserve spokesman Captain Eric Connor said what he's charged with is totally contradictory to Army values. Yeah. I mean, the Army only kills innocent Muslims when they're, by God, sent to do so in a foreign land by a compliant Congress and a bloodthirsty president and vice president, by God. Works full-time as a major in the Army Reserve, Major Langford does. Served two tours in Iraq while on active Army duty. Earned the Bronze Star for outstanding dedication to duty during combat while with a military police battalion. He received other decorations, including the Army Good Conduct Medal. Kamal Allen of Rayford, North Carolina said, "We've never had a problem with anyone." And that's after 3 decades of the mosque being there. So it was just another day. The general contractor on a construction job, and a member of the mosque they were working on tearing down a nearby outbuilding when Major Good Conduct Medal Langford drove up and said he started cussing him and started looking at the white members of the construction crew and said, "Do you know who you're working for? Hoo-ah!" Okay, I added the hoo-ah. Kamal Allen said, "I said, don't talk to him, don't talk to him. Just leave him alone and let the police handle it." Meanwhile, retired Army officer Muhammad Khan, who spent 30 years in the U.S. military, was delivering some tables to the mosque when Major Langford drove up. He spoke calmly to Langford, he said, who was at that point spewing hatred, and eventually pulled a gun on him. Khan is a volunteer Muslim chaplain at Fort Bragg. He said, "I was kind of dismayed, shocked, and in disbelief. In all of my 32 years of military service, I never encountered this kind of redneck. He told me to go back to my country. I said, 'Which country do you want me to go to? Give me the ticket and I'll fly.' He said, 'No, I will not give you a ticket. I will kill you and bury your body right here. Hoo-ah!'" I added the hoo-ah again. Now, we're near the end of the program. So, you know, a question, you know, for pondering. Is that just a guy who, you know, snapped? Is that just a guy who had a bad day? Or, hey, maybe he was liquored up. You know, like Mel Gibson was liquored up when he was standing on the side of the road and hollering, "It was the Jews, I tell you, it's the Jews!" Was it the liquor talking? Or has this country been whipped into a white, and I do mean white, hot fury at every blessed thing it doesn't understand, and it doesn't understand a damn thing? You tell me. Jack in Shreveport with a note saying, heard nearby upon the arrest of Major Langford. What do you mean lock him up? He ain't even been to Burger King yet. No, Jack, you have to commit the mass killing to get the Burger King. I mean, it's one thing to say, damn, people are just going crazy in America. But that's no help. That's really, really no help. Well, shit happens. Because this isn't a situation where stuff just happens. These are created incidents. These are incidents that happen as a direct and proximate result of plans that have been put in place. Day after day, night after night of right-wing broadcasting talking about the Muslims. Alex Jones, Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Brian Fisher. I got a clip here from Pat Robertson. I guess we'll be saving it for prayer meeting Wednesday. I'll go ahead and ruin it now. Where he says we should just let the homosexuals and the Muslims kill each other because they both hate Merca. God damn! Is there a way for us to stop this? Or do we just have to say, well, you know, we got a First Amendment that says anybody can say anything they want to say? Well, I don't know. I prefer solutions. But if we tried to enact hate speech laws such as, say, Canada has, or the enlightened European nations, the Supreme Court would probably strike it down in a 9-0 ruling, just like they did with the sweet Granny McCluckin case. And you have to ask yourself the question, cui bono? Who benefits? To whom the good? For whom the good? Who benefits by all of this hate? Who benefits from a country that has its collective hands wrapped around all of its collective throats? Who benefits? And no, I'm not going to tell you that it's the people in the Bohemian Grove or the Illuminati or no. But this cannot simply be accidental. Hate is real. And people have to be carefully taught. So even if we can't figure out the why, can we figure out the who? Where is it that people are being so carefully taught? They're being taught through their televisions. They're being taught on the radio. They're being taught on internet message boards. They're being taught in their churches. And then the next question is, how do you break that cycle? A little something from Scott in San Diego. Subject line, these things happen. Here's a relevant line from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World as delivered by Ethel Merman as Mrs. Marcus. Now, what kind of an attitude is that, these things happen? They only happen because this whole country is just full of people who, when these things happen, they just say these things happen, and that's why they happen. We got to have control of what happens to us. But you have, and I say this with 100% certainty, you have millions of Americans who celebrated when they heard that a room full of gay people had been murdered. And the vast majority of the people who did that celebrating were practitioners of religions that claim to be based upon an abiding love of peace. Steve from Georgia Stan writing, once again, a great show, Bob. Thanks, friend. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. Thank you to all of you. You're the only reason this program exists. I'm not one for howling into the wilderness. It's about the conversation. It's about the interaction. It is about, above all, the community. Thank you. Looks like we'll close the program. $75 to go fundraising, but we took a big bite out of the hole this evening. Thank you to Jay Cruz, and thank you to Jay. Thank you to Cindy. Thank you. Let me make sure I get all of this. Thank you to Betsy. Thank you to Clarence. Thank you to Jeremy. Thank you to Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you to Home Dirts. Thank you, one and all. Have a great evening. Let's go listen to Malloy. And then come tomorrow. Just, you know, don't eat a big breakfast and don't eat a big lunch, because, you know, it's mighty filling what happens in the fellowship hall dining room. And by the way, do not forget Jay Cruzan's Pappy Challenge. If you're late to the game, you'll have to check out the recording. Think of it as a 95.2 proof scavenger hunt. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. First and foremost, you who spend your finite, precious time engaged in this conversation. Listening, communicating. Thank you to those of you who support the program. You are a relatively tiny percentage of those who listen to the program, but you make it possible for everybody else. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.